You're listening to episode 18 of the History in 10 podcast, The Brooklyn Bridge and Emily Warren Roebling. On this day, February 4th, in 1789, the first U.S. Electoral College chooses George Washington as president and John Adams as vice president. In 1938, Adolf Hitler seizes control of the German army. In 1952, Jackie Robinson becomes the first African-American executive of a major TV station, WNBC New York. And in 2004, Mark Zuckerberg launches Facebook from his dorm room at Harvard. Welcome to the History in 10 podcast, a podcast that gives you a history lesson that you didn't learn in school in just 10 short minutes. I'm your host, Christy Jacobson, a history and timeless fan, and each week I'll bring you a new history lesson about a time period, event, or a person that you probably didn't learn about in history class. We'll look in depth at people's lives, visit unknown places, and learn about events that were swept under the rug. So what are we waiting for? Let's get to history. Welcome back to the History in 10 podcast. Before we get started, I want to send out a huge thank you to my friend Paul Melanson, who composed our new intro and outro music. If you want to hear more of his work, visit www.melansonmusic.com, and I'll be sure to link to that in the show notes so you can access it from there. And thank you to our Patreon supporter, Matthew Saunders. Thank you for supporting the History in 10 podcast. Do you want to hear your name here on the podcast? Visit patreon.com/historyin10, that's history in 10, to become a supporter today. What does your support go towards? It helps to pay for the service that hosts the podcast, as well as the equipment to record, and when we can get up to 10 or more supporters, the opportunity for a contest with history-related prizes and so much more. We're looking for 9 more supporters for February 2019. Once we reach a total of 10 supporters in February, I'll raffle off a copy of Mrs. Sherlock Holmes by Brad Rica. It's a great read about NYPD Detective Grace Humiston in the early 1900s, how she solved murder mysteries and basically was a female version of Sherlock Holmes. She was even a central figure in Timeless Season 2, Episode 7, Mrs. Sherlock Holmes, when the Time Team visits 1919 and the Women's Rights March. To get your chance to win this book, visit patreon.com/historyin10 to become a patron today. And now on to today's episode. The Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building, the Twin Towers, and now the Freedom Tower, the Brooklyn Bridge. All iconic New York landmarks that evoke a feeling of nostalgia and often homesickness for me. I grew up near New York City, and there's nothing better than seeing the iconic skyline, than seeing movie and TV show shots across the East River with the Brooklyn Bridge in the background. Heck, I even have a canvas painting of the skyline hanging in my bedroom. And 2 years ago, when I took a trip home, my best friend and I wandered the city, eventually reaching the East River. I had always seen the Brooklyn Bridge, but had never had the opportunity to actually walk across it. So we did. We joined the many other New York area natives and the many tourists in crossing the bridge, taking pictures, and just looking in wonder at the new view of my favorite city. All while I stood there in wonder, it never occurred to me to find out the history of the bridge, when it was built, why it was built, I assumed to connect Long Island and Brooklyn to Manhattan Island, and who worked on it. It wasn't until I stumbled across the New York Times overlooked obituary section a few weeks ago that I discovered a bit more about the history of the Brooklyn Bridge, and let's just say I was in awe and eager to learn more. The Brooklyn Bridge opened on May 24, 1883, over the East River, connecting the cities of Brooklyn and New York for the first time. Dubbed the Eighth Wonder of the World because of its unprecedented length and two stately towers, it remained the tallest structure in the Western Hemisphere for years. The connection between the two massive populations of Brooklyn and New York changed New York forever, and in 1898, Brooklyn formally merged with New York City, Staten Island, and a few farm towns forming Greater New York. The bridge's construction took nearly 14 years, involved 600 workers, cost $15 million, which is $320 million in today's dollars, and the lives of more than 24 people, including its original designer, John Augustus Roebling. John Augustus Roebling, born in Germany in 1806, was a pioneer in steel suspension bridges. He studied industrial engineering and at the age of 25 immigrated to Western Pennsylvania, where he attempted to make a living as a farmer. Unsuccessful, he moved to Harrisburg, the state capital, where he began working as a civil engineer and promoting the use of wire cable, established a successful wire cable factory. During this time, he earned a reputation as a designer of suspension bridges, which, at the time, were widely used but known to fail under strong winds or heavy loads. Roebling, however, had a major breakthrough in suspension bridge technology, a web truss added to either side of the bridge roadway that greatly stabilized the structure. Using this technology, he successfully bridged the Niagara Gorge at Niagara Falls and the Ohio River in Cincinnati, Ohio. New York legislators approved Roebling's plan for a suspension bridge over the East River between Brooklyn and Manhattan. This bridge would be the very first steel suspension bridge with the longest span in the world, 1,600 feet from tower to tower. But before construction could begin in 1869, Roebling was fatally injured while taking a few final compass readings across the East River. A boat smashed the toes on one of his feet, and just 3 weeks later, he died of tetanus. His son, Washington A. Roebling, who had worked with his father on several bridges and helped design the Brooklyn Bridge, took over as chief engineer. Washington, born in Saxonburg in 1837, was 12 years old when the family moved to Trenton, New Jersey. Like his father, he studied engineering, but at the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York. When he graduated in 1857, his father, John, hired him to help complete the Allegheny Bridge in Pittsburgh. When President Lincoln called for volunteers at the outbreak of the Civil War in 1861, 24-year-old Washington enlisted the next day. He distinguished himself in the Army by building suspension bridges for them in Virginia and at Harper's Ferry, and in helping defend Little Round Top at the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863. A year after, he was captivated by Emily Warren, the younger sister of his commanding officer, and they married in 1865. To prepare for the Brooklyn Bridge, John Roebling sent Washington to Europe to study casing construction and wire rope manufacturing. During the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge, Washington's health began to suffer from the stress. He began to develop severe decompression sickness, and from 1872, he was essentially an invalid. And here's where the story gets interesting, and in some ways lost in history. It was then that his wife, Emily Warren Roebling, stepped in, managing, liaising, and politicking between city officials, workers, and her husband's bedside to see the bridge construction to completion. Biographer Hamilton Schuller described Emily as a woman of strong character with an almost masculine intellect, and her husband Washington described his wife as a woman of infinite tact and wisest counsel. Emily was born in 1843 in Cold Spring, New York, one of 12 children of State Assemblyman Sylvanus Warren and Phoebe Licky Warren. She traveled to Washington to attend the Georgetown Academy of the Visitation, where she studied history, astronomy, French, and algebra, among other subjects, in addition to the necessary skills for the time, housekeeping and needlework. After her husband fell ill while working on the Brooklyn Bridge, she became her husband's eyes and ears. She began as a secretary, taking notes and going back and forth to the construction site. But she began to take on so much more, negotiating supply materials, overseeing contracts, and acting as a liaison to the Board of Trustees. She became a kind of surrogate chief engineer, using her diplomatic skills to manage competing parties, including the mayor of Brooklyn. While her husband was present, he was not able to actually go to the bridge or see anyone, and she was able to help him transmit his thoughts. Her dedication and hard work was noted by Congressman Abram S. Hewitt at the dedication ceremonies prior to the opening of the bridge. He noted the Brooklyn Bridge was an everlasting monument to the self-sacrificing devotion of a woman, and that the name of Emily Warren Roebling will thus be inseparably associated with all that is admirable in human nature. When the bridge finally opened in May 1883, Emily was the first to cross in a carriage from the Brooklyn side, carrying a rooster as a symbol of victory. At the official unveiling ceremonies on May 24th, hundreds of thousands of people rushed to celebrate the completion of the bridge. Following her successes with the Brooklyn Bridge, Emily went on to become active in various social and philanthropic organizations, including the Daughters of the American Revolution. In 1899, she obtained a certificate in business law from the women's law class at New York University, which at the time did not admit women. She traveled and lectured until her death just 4 short years later. Emily died on February 28, 1903, at the family home in Trenton, New Jersey, of stomach cancer. Emily's contributions are not forgotten, and along with her husband and father-in-law, she is immortalized on a plaque on the Brooklyn Side Tower. It reads, "The Builders of the Bridge, dedicated to the memory of Emily Warren Roebling, 1843-1903, whose faith and courage helped her stricken husband, Colonel Washington A. Roebling, 1837-1926, complete the construction of this bridge from the plans of his father, John A. Roebling, 1805-1869, who gave his life to the bridge. Back of every great work, we can find the self-sacrificing devotion of a woman." So the next time you're in New York City, take a walk on over to the East River. Find the pedestrian path, walk across the bridge, and I can guarantee you'll marvel at the incredible feat of architecture and engineering Emily was able to bring to life in the late 1800s without the kinds of technology we rely on today. If you can't make it, stop on by the History in 10 Instagram page. I'll post some photos from my own walk across the bridge 2 years ago. Thank you for listening to the History in 10 podcast. Have a great week, and we'll see you back here next Monday for another history lesson in 10 minutes. Thank you for listening to the History in 10 podcast. If you like the show and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Have questions? Want to chat? Email me at historyin10podcast@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at historyin10 to talk all things history and timeless. And don't forget to visit the Patreon page at patreon.com/historyin10 to become a patron of History in 10. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you again next week for another history lesson in 10 minutes.